Hello, my fantastic radio listeners, and welcome to the most special ever episode of Sex Talk. Tonight we have a very, very, very special guest.
And a mini guest.
You know, Dr. Sexopoulos and I were talking about this as part of our weekly
Jungian therapy.
We're talking about, you know, this show for years, for like 7 years, every week we talk about sex and the various forms of sex, but we don't talk about, you know, in the cycle of life, what is the most natural outcome of the sexual act, but
itchy rashes burning.
Well, I was thinking of, you know, perpetual depression and
bitterness.
Ultimately a set of sense of rejection, but of course reproduction. And tonight, are we using your real name tonight?
Mom. Sure, whatever.
Or we could call you, I don't know, Mommy Dearest.
Well, talk to me. Yes.
Yeah.
Barbara's on the show tonight. Barbara has brought her newborn child, 3 weeks old. The child is already, we're in a radio first for WRCT. We have a woman breastfeeding in the studio while the show is going on. And so I'm actually very excited. It reminds me of my own, I was actually a bottle baby, which explains.
A great deal.
Explains a lot.
Why are you so messed up?
Actually, I think I was breastfed, actually.
I wouldn't call Kosek messed up. He's... Sorry, I wouldn't call my imaginary friend Co-Sack messed up. But if you're talking about our host, I wouldn't say he's messed up either. He's just like delightfully unique.
I have issues. You know, I mean, anyway, the putative, the normative topic of tonight's show is sex in the great outdoors. And
because what was the little ditty you were?
Well, it's a little late for it now, but the little ditty is, hooray, hooray, the 1st of May, outdoor...
Nookie.
Starts today.
Substitute your own favorite two-syllable naughty word for
it. So is that true? Like, does everyone have sex? I had a completely abnormal, like, upbringing, and I never had sex in high school. I never had sex in college. I mean, like, don't laugh. It's true. You laugh at my pain. You're laughing at your child. Boy, that's an amazing, like, you know, voice synthesizer we have hooked up to the baby simulator. Sim baby 2.0. Does it, so, like...
Click on the diaper icon.
Is it, like, weird? I mean, this is actually an excellent chance to talk about motherhood. Is it, like, weird to have, like, some milk-like substance oozing from your breasts?
Considering that's what they were made for, not really. But maybe it's just me. I mean, you might find it a little weird to have it coming from your breasts, but...
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess, I mean, in one sense, maybe they're made for it. But, I mean, like, before you ever had a child, you probably never had milk coming out of your breast, right? So
this is correct.
So, like, it must be...
Remember, as freakish and horrifying as all this appears to us as men, it's a beautiful and natural thing to women, so...
I mean, did you think that there were holes in your breasts big enough for milk to ooze out?
Yes.
I mean, are they heavier because they're full of delicious, life-giving milk?
Yes, very much.
And valuable antibodies.
Heavier, bigger, yes, more tender, yes, everything. Leaking all the time, yes.
What does it feel like when your child, like, sucks on your breast? I mean, is it like a beautiful bonding moment? Do you, like, are you...
Or is it like a small monkey gnawing on a part of your body?
I mean, are you touched by the, like you're passing life-giving nutrients to this child of yours? Or are you just like, you know, or is it driving you crazy all like the gnawing on your
well,
tender bits?
Which must be as rough as hamburger meat at this point.
Well, actually, so the rule of thumb for breastfeeding is if it hurts, you're doing it wrong.
Oh, really?
Which is pretty much correct. I mean, there's the initial... clamp on, suction, that's a little kind of, and then after that, it's just sucking.
Wait, was that English? There's the initial,
clamping, he clamps on with his mouth,
oh,
and
really?
Then, like, puts suction around the entire nipple part.
How do they know how to do that?
I have no idea.
The
ones who didn't, you know.
So that part's a little bit like, I don't know, putting a clothespin on your finger, but then all the pain goes away, and it's just kind of, well, some weird feeling in the end.
Is this going to make you reconsider or think again about, or think differently about your lovers sucking on your nipples, right? Does this de-eroticize the nipple now?
Not really. Actually, personally, I would think it very sexy if I had a lover who was willing and wanted to suck my nipple now and actually taste the milk.
So I've heard.
Unfortunately,
I've had,
most guys I know of think it's disgusting.
I have one or two male friends who've done that. The report is thin, sweet.
Yeah,
kind of
pretty
like
much
sweetened skim milk. But yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. On the one hand, I'm deeply repulsed. On the other hand, I'm horrified. So.
On the other hand, it's milk that was made for humans. So.
True. True.
Well, made for babies, at least. So what? What am I thinking? Like, as a non-heterosexual male, I think I have to stay out of this discussion. And you're theoretically fascinated by a breast ordinarily, right? I mean, you.
Oh yeah, they're great things. I'm all in favor of them.
Like, you would suck on them and nibble their little custardy goodness.
Sure.
So like, is it just, is there something, just is the fluid sort of grossing you out or whatever? I mean, some people are lactose intolerant. Is that the problem? Like, do you have to take, like, a lactaid pill before?
No, it's, actually, I think the stuff in mother's milk has enzymes that would actually help you digest it more. So lactose intolerant generally does not play into it.
Well, yeah, you got to think it's kind of evolved to be optimally digestible by the wee ones, so. And how late do you breastfeed?
The theory of evolution is just a theory. I won't have you, like, banding it about as if it's fact.
I'm sorry, Mr. Intelligent Design.
That's right.
DJ.
I did grow up in Kansas. Education. Exactly. I'm sorry, you had a question? It's so cute the way, I mean, that's so
yeah.
Cute. For our listeners, we've got a call.
Wow, we've got a call.
For listeners at home, the child's being very tenderly patted now that it's had its little evening meal.
And it's going,
are you
it's
burping
getting
it or whatever?
Yes.
So, hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello, caller. Welcome
Hi.
To Sex Talk.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Well, our topic tonight nominally is sex outdoors. However, we seem to have digressed talking about babies and breastfeeding, since we have a breastfeeding baby on the show.
Yeah, I actually had a question about that. I personally have not been lucky enough to be in a relationship where I've gotten to witness the miracle of life firsthand.
You've always fled the state before that.
Pretty much. I don't actually know how many I've left trailing behind me. But the question I have is this. So I was not breastfed as a kid. I was bottle fed. And I've always felt a little deprived.
How did you find this out, by the way? Did you just ask mom?
No, at some point I just asked. I said, hey, you know, was I breastfed or bottle fed? And mom said, oh, no, you know, you were bottle fed.
I've never asked my mom.
Maybe you should.
Well, I don't really want to know anything about her breasts, honestly.
Okay. Well, maybe. Never mind.
maybe I should ask you.
Guess your dad. He probably know.
Sorry.
My question is, how typical is it for your partner, your husband, your boyfriend, whatever he is? I mean, did he have to try it? Or is he just over that because whatever?
Try the breast milk, you mean?
Yeah.
No, he's refused to try it. The idea just, I guess, turns him off. He's just not interested in it at all.
Maybe you could squirt some into his coffee in the morning and then the next day tell him.
No, my mom actually confirmed that breast milk makes very bad coffee creamer.
Oh, okay.
So.
So, I mean, like, but objectively speaking, does it? You said it sort of tastes sort of sweet and benign. It's not like it's really, really gross, right? If you don't shut that child up, I'm gonna.
So wait. So if your partner then has refused it, does that mean you have extra?
Have pardon?
Extra milk.
Extra.
Does that mean you have extra? Yeah.
Yep.
I think breast milk is sort of like Doritos, is that you know they make as much as you consume. Right?
Actually, that is the truth that you it. Well, so in the first about 4 to 6 weeks, the breasts just kind of keep making as much as possible, and then after that time.
Poor kids. You're on the radio.
It's okay. It's adding an air of authenticity.
After that time, then it kind of adjusts to the baby's feeding schedule, and
the kid's
gonna however
talk
much
about
he eats, then it makes.
The child's going to talk about this in therapy 20 years from now.
My screams of despair and hunger were broadcast to millions across the country.
And because no one was listening.
Okay.
I feel abandoned. So, caller, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. That was really my only question.
So you've never had the opportunity to...
I want to know if I'm a freak for, like, being curious about that.
Basically. No. In fact, would you like to try it, if given the right opportunity?
Absolutely.
So it sounds like you may be a freak, but you're a freak who's in demand. If our one sample point is anything to go by.
So
Okay.
You don't have to keep him quiet for our sake. I don't want a kind of a MASH season finale situation here where you're
Well, and actually, you know, when Fat Man D was here, she was crying half the time too. And then we, you know, we went on the show. We're troopers.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we made this perfectly. So the caller had an interest in it. Is it an erotic interest or just like that's a bodily fluid I haven't tasted yet kind of interest?
You know, actually, I think it's more of the latter. I don't think it's a hardcore erotic interest. Although I have certainly seen a lot of breast milk porn.
Really?
Pregnant porn.
There is such a thing as breast milk porn?
There's everything.
I guess
porn.
So. What a silly question.
It's actually so I've seen a number of magazines, but I've seen at least one movie where
let me guess, it was German?
Actually, it was British.
Mm. Oh, okay.
With a melon's involved.
Very hard to show that the one of the actresses was lactating.
Sorry? Excuse me?
That one of the actresses was kind of disappointing. It was really more of a dribble, but I don't really know how these things work.
He doesn't like his mother being talked about like this, I guess. Breast milk porn.
Wow. So, our guest is leaving us to go sedate her child. This is
really
bad.
She has her priorities right. We may be whiny babies, but...
Wow. You know, I mean, it's actually, you know, I didn't... Up to this point, I thought that I was, like, you know... the primary advocate of all women, but now I'm acutely uncomfortable in this kind of...
Uncomfortable?
Mother, yeah, in this
You were strangely entranced by that baby, I have to admit. Like, you were staring and smiling like some, dare I say, heterosexual dad.
Like a... Like I was hopped up on goofballs?
Yeah, like because, the hormones were kicking in, the genes?
I'm like a children's Dr. Doolittle. All children love me.
Like Gamera, then. A friend to all children.
So, caller. Is the caller still there?
Yeah.
We're going to switch smoothly to our other topic, which is outdoor sex. While mom is, you know, ministering to her child, we're going to talk about outdoor sex. And so, did you have any experiences that you wanted to share in this area?
Sure. I guess I could talk about one. When I was about, maybe like 18 or 19, I was driving with my girlfriend, and we were desperately looking for a place to have sex. And there was this park called Echo Lake Park, of all places.
Oh, so I got to stop you there already. You were desperately – I mean, so you were outside and you were thinking, we want to have sex outside somewhere.
No, we were in a car, and it was a very small car.
And I was going to say, what's wrong with the back seat?
I live with my parents, and she lived with her parents, and I was uncomfortable parking in her driveway doing it there.
Wow.
So we found this park, and we went out, and we said, oh, this will be great. We'll go out into the park. It'll be, you know, middle of the night, and it'll be really great. So we went up and we kind of ran up to this huge grassy field. It was middle of the night. I think there were actually other people in the park at the time. We didn't quite notice that. We were kind of busy. And so we kind of got naked and we were doing stuff. And unfortunately, it was the middle of the summer and there was a lot of mosquito activity.
Ooh, owie.
Yeah, and so I was in this position where we were kind of in the standard missionary position. And I was kind of like jumping, bumping up and down and kind of slapping my own ass like a cowboy trying to kill all the mosquitoes that were devouring my flesh.
That is such a porn movie.
I know, except you were slapping the wrong butt, but...
Well, we ended up, both of us ended up, like, covered in mosquito bites just forever.
So. Oh, jeez. Did you at least, like, have good sex? Or are you too busy being bitten and stung?
The pleasure and pain were about evenly mixed, which I guess is a good metaphor for life as any.
Well, I mean, I was sort of wondering, like so many of our guests, you know, who use pain to bring themselves to whole new levels of the human experience. I was wondering if, like, you know,
you'd recommend insects for the discerning S&M crowd.
On the one hand, I didn't enjoy it. And if you asked me, like, you know, would I have rather not had the insects there? The answer would be yes. But on the other hand, I certainly remember it.
That's true.
So,
well, remember, the word sex is inside insects.
If you spell it incorrectly, yes.
Wow, that's incredibly weird. Because
I knew we were going to get at least one insect story tonight. Like, sex in the outdoors go and insects go together, like nitro and glycerin, I guess.
I was sort of hoping this story would lead to, like, you devouring your mate's head and like a praying mantis or... Black Widow or whatever. What insect eats? There's some insect.
Praying mantises and Black Widows, yeah, both. The interesting thing about the praying mantis, right, is she beheads her mate before sex, and the headless body goes ahead and nails her anyway. That's dedication. Fascinating etymological tidbits from Dr. Sexopoulos. You had your head torn off, but still had sex?
But I kept going.
Good for you. That's pretty rugged. I'm impressed. And I assume you had your head reattached?
Yes.
Wow.
Excellent.
So another part of tonight's agenda.
There's more.
38 minutes of radio gold.
Our cup overfloweth. Wow, we have another caller.
So I don't have to make something up. Excellent. Well, caller, why don't you...
Would you excuse us? Well, yeah.
Can you, like,
Thank
call...
you so much for giving me a chance to experience the miracle of life firsthand.
Well, please call back if you can remember any more good outdoor sex stories.
Especially if it sounds like we're desperate, call back. That would be really good. But I'm going to put the next caller on the phone. Thank you, first caller, for calling in. Second caller, hello, and thanks for calling.
Hey there. Greetings from L.A.
Hey, wow. We have transcontinental listeners.
Yes, indeed. Thanks to the miracle of the Internet.
So are you able to listen to this over the web then?
Yeah, I wasn't for a while, but I can now for some reason.
Okay, so you know the topic. We don't have to fill you in. That's good.
Yeah, I was hoping we could kind of steer back towards the breast milk thing because that's what I had some comments about.
Sure.
Interesting. Well, our mom is back in the station and her little baby.
Satan baby?
Is back, so we have real experts and also the jackass experts.
Sexperts.
My producer signaled me in some kind of...
Yeah, he turned her mic back up.
Oh.
So now we get
baby
in stereo. So yes, caller, you had a question, comment, or concern.
Yeah, so, well, you know, as a vegan, you know, I don't normally drink milk, but it seems like if it's human milk from a human who's, like, you know, given it of her own free will...
Right, there's no exploitation involved.
Right. So I don't know. How would the caller feel about that if, say, their husband was a vegan and, you know, was interested in getting some cruelty-free milk?
Like what, for coffee or to make cheese out of, perhaps?
Yeah, whatever. It could be human cheese.
So, yeah, are you I guess the question is, are you interested in having your lover drink directly from your breasts, or would you mind if he said, oh, could you just give me a pint for work?
Well, if you really wanted the milk, I guess I wouldn't mind, depending on how much he wanted, but it... doesn't quite have the same sexy, special...
No.
I don't know. Interesting aspect of it.
Like a breast milk
Just kind
smoothie.
Of pump for me. Well, okay.
Well, you could work it into whole some kind of weird, like, you know, cow / bestiality / submission type deal, right?
Whoa! Are you German?
You could, if I was into that.
Well, I don't know. If you were looking for some way to make it a turn on and that happened to be one of your...
So, Mr. Vegan Caller, this sounds like a market opportunity, right? If there are vegans out there who miss milk, who miss cheese, but because of the cruelty involved with, you know, the farm process, they stay away. Look, and yet there are all these pregnant women who are expressing more milk than they can use.
I'm sorry, I have to ask a scientific question. Don't you need rennet to make cheese, like the lining of some kind of calf? You can't just take milk, right?
There are other ways, like kosher cheese, I believe, doesn't use rennet.
Right, and there's vegetarian cheese, not vegan, it does contain milk, but vegetarian cheese, which uses some other way of starting the culture.
Yeah, and usually that uses casein, which is some bizarre milk protein or something.
Yeah. Okay, but you're generally correct.
Here's a related one, then. Say you were vegan and you wanted to drink milk. Would you, like, squeeze your own? I mean...
Would I be willing to drink my own milk? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Sure.
Have you?
I've tasted it. I haven't actually
drunk
it.
What's it taste like?
Thin, sweet milk.
So my friend's estimation is correct.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Interesting. You raised some very interesting questions, caller.
Well, thank you.
Well, so you know what I think we should do, if you're up for it, I think we should have an online demonstration where you should give us some of your milk right now to drink. Would that violate your boundaries?
I'm not entirely sure I'd be able to get more than a couple drops.
You know, I gotta admit, I would be a little bit squicked by that at this point. I'm not quite.
Dr. Sexopoulos.
Oh, come on! I'm gonna have to disable your programming.
I'm just eager for some discipline.
No, but seriously, if I ask you to squeeze out a couple drops in my hand, or maybe I can just suck some directly from the source, would you do that? I mean, you know that I have no as a confirmed
ulterior motives?
Homosexual. I have no ulterior motive.
Let's see your card,
furthering
Mister.
Science.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. Wow.
You want to do it? So
we may have to wait until this one has fallen asleep just because it would...
Right.
I was halfway across the room. Right, but
otherwise, distract him. I might have to leave again. That would be complicated.
I might just need a few minutes to get used to the idea.
Oh, gee.
Well, come on.
I'm going back to my old co-host.
I'm a delicate butterfly.
He was up for anything.
Why did you destroy him then? You have nobody to blame but yourself.
I turned him in a fit of rage because you all ultimately disappoint me. So the caller, I mean, despite these kind of sort of, I don't know, legal questions about what a vegan can or can't eat, I mean, do you have any erotic attachment to milk? I mean, that's what this show is really about, is
sex.
So,
oh, that's right. It is sex talk, not food talk.
Exactly. Right. Do you have an erotic attachment to cow's milk or human milk, or are you?
Well, I don't think so, although I wouldn't necessarily put it past myself to develop one if necessary.
It's good to see your perversions are flexible, Color.
Well, you know, I'm so close to the San Fernando Valley that if I was looking for future employment, then...
Are you really calling from L.A.?
Absolutely.
Most people that call and say they're calling from L.A. are actually lying.
I have good reason to believe this, Color. So.
Wow.
Can't you hear the hum of the city?
Well, the only people
we're having
background.
A blackout now, actually.
How fun.
The only people that we know from L.A. are, like, porn stars and...
They're hangers-on. Hangers-ons. And fluffers.
Well, I'm neither porn star nor fluffer, though I would be greatly interested in getting into the porn soundtrack industry.
I understand there's a...
made for porn. And,
yeah, I understand there's a great demand for slap bass players in the porn soundtrack industry. Very nice.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Wow, little scat porn music. Not scat porn, but never mind. I was...
So I mean, if the agenda of the show is to, like, probe, you know, the innermost recesses of your mind and expose your raw vulnerabilities for all to...
Probe your mind or...
That too.
Else?
Well...
The mind is the biggest sex organ of the human body, after all.
True.
After the...
8 pounds, after
the liver, right.
I just want to find out a little bit more about the caller. Like, you know, what is your sexual orientation? What is your interest in human... milk.
Well, my interest in human milk, anyway.
He skipped over the first question. That was
well, I was very that, that's the longer answer.
Oh, he's gay. I can tell.
Alas, no. let's see. Where was I?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas,
swim team.
Yeah, well.
Shaved, taut buttocks.
Well, who could say no to that?
Spandex.
Spandex is good.
Ropes.
Ropes. Harnesses, you know, other miscellaneous be like that. All good fun.
Have you ever slapped your own ass while making love to your partner?
I don't think so.
Even to swat an insect away?
Well, maybe if I was really drunk once or something and missed, I don't know.
Have you ever had sex outdoors, Caller?
Yes, I have. On a certain university campus in the Pittsburgh area.
Really?
Oh. Pittsburgh area. So you're not from MIT?
No, I'm from that other great engineering school.
Oh, RPI.
Exactly.
So whereabouts on this campus?
Let's see. There was a little, outdoor deck near the printing building.
Oh, I know where you're talking about, I think.
In full view of things like, say, Doherty Hall.
Right. So what? Can I ask any details here? Do you mind if we probe? I'm wondering,
probe
like, what position? Did you just, like, lay out a blanket and... go at it, hammer and tongs, missionary style, or was there
actually,
some?
Actually, there was not any sort of full intercourse. It was more just manual and oral.
Yeah, could you speak up a little, Color? We can't hear you at all here.
Oh, sorry. There wasn't full intercourse. It was mainly just oral and manual interactions.
Well, hey, those are good, too.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, sure, be sitting in your office, right?
Yeah. I've actually, for a while, I've been trying to convince people, only because I can't do it myself, being single, like to have sex in the big glass
habit trail.
Right, that connects these two buildings on the CMU campus.
Right.
I think that'd be great.
It'd be so awesome if you get, like, every male undergrad.
Be a definition of great, which I'm not familiar with. It must be definition 7 or 8 in the OED.
The total spoogatorium.
Be a definition of great, which I'm not familiar with. It must be definition 7 or 8 in the OED.
The total spoogatorium. They could never get it clean. They would have to tear it down.
It would smell like a mushroom cellar forever.
Well, failing that, you could always have them just, say, moon everyone from there. You know.
Yes, a huge habit trail of pressed ham.
Pressed against the glass.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you know that, who's that guy, right? The photographer that seems to photograph naked people all the time. I mean, like, gets crowds of hundreds and hundreds of people. They all get
Match
naked.
Hardcore?
And they lie in the middle of the street. You must know this. You're like in
Oh,
like,
I know who you're talking about, but I can't remember the
weird
name.
Weird art freaks. It would be awesome to, like, fill the habit trail from, like,
stem to stern?
Solid with naked people, like, in every possible position.
That would be great.
And then have them start kind of writhing a little bit.
It'd be like a giant sausage.
Except for many more choice cuts of meat than the average sausage contains.
True.
And less dead rat. But I think we digress. I can see the host here is just his eyes have glazed over with the possibilities of packing the habit trail with wrestlers and swimmers and gymnasts.
Either that or boredom, we're not sure.
That would be great, because and then I would try to tunnel through them, not actually try to crawl through the center of that teeming mass of humanity.
It'd be like a big spanking line, but on a much larger scale.
Well, yeah, it'd be like rebirthing, really. Going through, like,
right, a huge tunnel of man flesh.
Going through a couple of quarts of Wesson oil, too, probably.
Oh, absolutely.
At least.
Sweet, sweet Wesson. Well, maybe we can get a some kind of NEA grant, and now that the Democrats control the Senate.
Well, I don't... sorry, I was lost in my own little world there for
a
minute.
Yeah, I can tell.
I would like to actually... Have we sucked this collar dry? Because I would actually like to proceed with the putative topic of the show, which is our guest's secret sex life. So, was there anything else that you wanted to...
No, I think I'm satisfied.
Okay. All right, well, thank you for calling in. I think we're going to...
All the way from L.A.
Yeah, keep listening. If we sound really desperate, please call back. I should remind all of our other listeners in the San Fernando Valley and elsewhere, our phone number is area code 412-621-9728. Thanks for listening.
And thanks for calling, caller.
And thanks for calling.
Sure.
So, during our extensive pre-interview, you were telling me that one of your first early outdoor sexual experiences was in, like, third grade, junior high, something like that.
No. It was actually after I was in college. We went back to my old junior high building.
Oh, interesting.
And got in the roof, since there were trees nearby. It was one-story building. It was easy to do, nice flat. It was not during school hours, so the whole thing was empty.
And you did this deliberately? You wanted to, like, relive the sexually charged but oh-so-frustrating era?
Well, it was kind of like we got up. It was my boyfriend at the time and myself, and walked around, talked a while, then sat down and... Well, things happened.
Did you have your boyfriend pretend to be like Mr. Smithers, your, you know,
Stern principal?
No.
And you were Miss McGillicuddy, the reading teacher? No.
No.
There was no role playing?
No. None whatsoever. And as a matter of fact, there wasn't opportunity to do that much since the roof was filled with, well, rather sharp rocks, and there wasn't many comfortable seating places, so...
But why the roof of this particular building? There must be some.
Why? Because
trauma.
It was easy to get up to, and it was right next door to my house.
Hmm.
It was a kind of go wander around the park and spend some time alone sort of thing, and this is a good place to go wander around in.
So, is there anywhere in your hometown, say, outdoors, that you would like to have sex in that you haven't been able to yet, like top of a water tower or old man Wintergreen's lawn or something? I don't know.
School book repository.
Well, I did do the oral sex in a car a few times back in high school.
Well, that only counts as outdoors if the windows were rolled down, right?
No, the windows were rolled up and were quite fogged up, actually.
So topologically, that was not outdoors.
Yeah, we were parking in a parking lot, and suddenly we heard a car honk behind us, and the boyfriend freaked out and drove off as fast as he could. So it wasn't very interesting.
But when you say oral sex in the car, like, who was performing oral sex on whom? Or was it mutual?
I don't believe it's ever been performed on me in a car. So.
Oh, really?
Well, that's
me giving. Well, no. The positioning is kind of difficult sometimes.
That's why it's tragedy, like the big, you know, make-out mobiles from Detroit died out. I guess SUVs might have brought that back, but like the, you know, big, huge cars with bench seats that sat about 20 people. You know, it's a tragedy.
I agree.
Because who can have sex in a neon, right? Perhaps well-oiled midgets.
So was your boyfriend driving? I mean, I think that every male likes to get oral sex while driving.
I've done that before, too. I've done that before as well, yeah.
Interesting.
Not at this particular occasion, but...
Did your partner, like, lose control and cause a fiery multi-car accident?
No. It was a combination of control by me so he would not lose control, like, as in don't get him to come, and then when he decided he wanted to go ahead and finish it, we actually pulled over.
Yeah. Wow. Really?
Yes.
I mean,
You look puzzled.
Well, I'm just thinking, or his climaxes so, like, mind-numbingly powerful that, like, you actually think there would be a danger of, like, losing control on the highway?
Well, it depends on where and how fast you're driving.
Yeah, pretty much. I think this is highway.
I've gotten road hit on the freeway, like, in traffic, and, like, you're a split second from death there, and all it takes is, like, eyes rolling back in your head for a moment, and it's all over.
I think it was more if he wanted to fully enjoy it rather than have to concentrate on something else at the time.
That's a good point, too. True. Yeah, nothing ruins a good orgasm like having to think about downshifting or something.
My producer just stood up and gave us a dirty look. Why? Because we kicked the microphone? I'll kick. Microphone isn't the only thing I'll be kicking. Ah, boy.
So what about you, DJ?
Well, I had this story. I mean, I was trying to figure out whether I dreamed this or not.
Sexploitation.
I think I had sex with another man.
You think it was another man, or you think you had sex
in the area of Shenley Park known as the Fruit Loop? I don't know why they call it that, except that there are a lot of gay men there that want to have sex with each other.
So where is that? I've never. Well, never mind. I'm sure the people who know.
It's sort of. You have to be. If you're gay, you have like a sixth sense, and you're drawn to it like a salmon swimming upstream to its spawning ground.
You follow the smell of crawda. Or is it not that kind of crowd?
And so, what? I don't know what that means.
Prada, it's a very fancy pants designer clothing company.
Oh, okay.
I was making a gay style joke, but like, then I realized it was probably not like the fashion whores who hang out at the Fruit Loop, huh?
No, the Fruit Loop is actually kind of like, I mean, I hate to be classist, but sort of like, it seems like sort of skankier.
That's not classist.
Hang out there. I mean, I was sort of hoping that
skanky men.
That it would be like, you know, filled with sort of confused, tragio, pouty...
Teenagers from Squirrel Hill?
Yeah, or like frat boys who were conflicted about their sexuality and were working through their frustration by like spending 4 hours a day lifting weights in the gym or whatever. But, you know, it's not. It's...
The homeless?
I don't know. It's kind of a rough crowd there. They kind of scare me a little bit. But anyway, so the thing is, you know, in the Fruit Loop, people are just kind of standing around. It's weird because, like, they're trying to act all nonchalant. I mean, you know, you're standing in the middle of a park against a tree smoking or just standing there being absurd. And if you didn't know that people were there to have sex, it would actually be really sort of – actually, I had a friend from New Zealand. Do you remember the story? A friend from New Zealand who was walking to Carnegie Mellon one time, and he took a shortcut through the park. And he was like, I walked through this area of the park, and there were all these men kind of, like, standing around, and some of them were staring at me. But nobody said anything. Is this some kind of American cultural phenomenon I'm not aware of? And I'm like, oh, sister, you barely made it out of there with your
man Jerry.
Virginity intact. Exactly. But yeah, so I think I was there and I had the beginnings of sex with somebody. I think I like started performing oral sex on my partner. And then, like, the thing is, though, that in that place, you know, people started ambling over to watch, and I found that kind of
off-putting,
ooky. and so, so we kind of left. But I mean, I think, you know, I think there's some kind of protocol there. Like, people will like stand and watch, and maybe they'll like come over and touch you or whatever if they want to join in.
I've never had anybody watch me do anything.
Really?
It's an interesting feeling.
As far as you know.
As far as I know, this is true.
If we had the webcam set up here, it'd be totally different.
Actually, no. Okay, sorry. I've never had anybody watch in person. But.
Hold on. It sounds like there's an
issue. Ooh, yes. That's a very interesting technicality you just pulled.
Actually, I think I mentioned it on here sometime
in
the
past. So
have
you been filmed having sex? Is that the...
No, it was a webcam.
So we're going to ask you to back up. And in the inimitable words of DJ 2000, turn the detail all the way up to 11 on that one. So, no?
No.
Okay, so then talk about your friend who had sex on a webcam named Marbara.
It wasn't sex.
You can't just bring something like that up and then let it sit in the middle of the room like a dead fish. You can't give any detail, even the knob up to like two or three.
It wasn't actually sex. It was more of a fooling around.
A sex act.
This is like Clintonian, like what is sex and what is not sex right. thing, right?
Okay, it wasn't full vaginal penetration. How's that?
I mean, how is it that one is on a webcam? I mean, did you know that there was a webcam?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And were you performing for the webcam, or did this kind of just happen?
No, it was a for the webcam thing. It was a let's see how many viewers we can get, and what kind of reaction we can get. And then it was over, and it was not saved. And
did it work?
So you think
it was not saved by you anyway?
So did you? How many viewers did you get?
Oh,
100, 1,000, million?
100 or so. I don't know.
Wow.
Didn't check very carefully. But.
Well, you know, long-time friend of the show, John Cam, at johncamlive.com. I actually felt, I mean, I went over one late night and visited him at his house, and all of the webcam viewers started encouraging us to have sex. And, and you know, the sort of voyeur in me was sort of intrigued by that. I was like, you know, both. You know,
yeah, the voyeur dorm of the girls down in Florida live about a mile from my parents' house.
Really?
I drove past it a couple times.
I read a big long article about that, actually. They don't have a particularly nice gig, these girls. Like, they get paid very, very little. In fact, they largely get paid in lingerie, believe it or not.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and the one woman who's been on the show longest and, like, the most, quote, popular, meaning she gets the most screen time, is, like, sleeping with a director or producer. And so it's all this kind of shady, sleazy operation, just like you'd expect from low-grade amateur porn.
Yeah.
Anyway. So outdoor sex. So this was the first time you had outdoor sex on the roof of your junior high
building. I think so. I probably remember at least it was, yes.
And have you had any other moments since
then? Yeah, there was one time where we were in the middle of a small field after a firework display, and it cleared out, and we didn't want to go home yet. So we, I think it was more of a shift the pants aside, sit on top. Went pretty fast because there were still people around and one didn't want to get caught.
So was there an insect problem?
Not that I remember. I think I got a couple bites, but it wasn't a major thing.
You could have made that look like, you know, as if you were just sort of wrestling or playing, you know. Right? I mean,
except for the moaning, but yes, probably.
Who's moaning, you or?
Both,
you,
I'd
the audience,
say.
Your stalkers?
The people with high-powered binoculars.
It was also midnight and near-pitch black, so they might have heard us and come over. Probably wouldn't have seen us, though.
Well, and Russian night vision scopes are extremely cheap these days.
So, I mean, so I'm sort of wondering, like, do you whether you have, like, a self-destructive, you know, craving for dangerous outdoor sex?
I'd say it's any type of danger, actually. I don't know, enjoy it.
Really?
Any sort of...
Wow, we have another caller. It's a popular show tonight. I think it's the baby, because babies attract viewers.
Everybody
as a sitcom
babies.
Writer knows.
Baby is a sheep.
We'd have even more viewers if we had a monkey. But.
Or perhaps a cute robot. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller.
Long time listener, first time caller. But I have an outside sex story I've been meaning to get off my chest for years, actually.
Well,
because it involves sort of a moral dilemma that I haven't quite resolved in my head yet.
Well, we're always here for our callers, so please share.
We're like Delilah, but not so prissy.
I'm afraid of traumatizing the baby, though.
I think the baby's asleep.
Baby's asleep.
Okay. So this is what happened. In my younger and sort of much more innocent days, I was hitchhiking through an unnamed third world country.
Okay.
And I met some other hitchhikers. Well, it was pretty close to Europe, but, you know, still not a place you want to end up in the hospital. I ended up meeting some other hitchhikers, one of whom was a very attractive English woman. And I was sort of a naive, you know, American farm boy, sort of sexually inexperienced. And we sort of hit it off, and I could tell, I don't know what had happened, whether it was sort of, you know, diesel fumes in the air or whatever. She sort of took an interest in me. And so at one point we, like, wandered away into sort of the swampy area and started to, you know, and she actually sort of led me into some sexual activity.
Wow.
So – And I was very excited because I thought she was really attractive.
I think we have a question here.
I'm a little upset. See, you know, you said started to, you know, but ironically, I don't know. And so I think.
I would think that after all these years of hosting the show, DJ, 2000, that your act about understanding the sex act wasn't just guff.
I'm just saying, you know, as always, we need to use to paint us a vivid word picture. This foreign European woman is
this Duchess, this lovely English lass.
You know, you're a backwoods farm boy from Mississippi. You don't know anything about loving, that except for the.
It's better when you strangle the chickens right at the end.
What you learned in the farmyard.
But, I mean,
what was it like?
With two verbal Rembrandts like you, I barely feel like I'm needed for this.
So she hauled you back into this fetid swamp. And then
it was sort of swampy. But so this is the creepy part, right? So it was warm, and so we weren't wearing a lot of clothing, and there was like even less on now, right? And then I noticed that there were centipedes crawling on her legs.
Oh, awesome. That sounds like David Lynch.
Yeah, like big evil centipedes. But the thing is, I was so into it. Like, what did I – what was I going to stop this?
Yeah, because that would be a big buzzkill, I guess, would be the word the kids would use these days.
Yeah, no doubt, man. So this was the moral choice I faced. And I think I failed because I sort of let her keep going. And, in fact, one of them bit her. And I know. And, like, I just pretended like I pinched her in all my excitement.
And did you get away with that?
Yeah, I did get away with it, actually.
Did you find the bite mark afterwards?
Well, I don't really know.
It's probably like a giant colony of like 10,000, you know, caterpillars living inside our circulatory system.
So, so you did manage to like get where you were going, though.
Yeah. No, the train arrived. Everything, all that. Yeah.
Excellent. I mean,
but it was bad because I was like wretched with guilt while it was going on, and you know, of course, you know, when orgasm comes, there's an overwhelming like psychological release, anyways, right?
And then afterwards, did you tell her, oh, by the way, there were centipedes crawling all over you when we were having sex?
No, I'm not stupid.
Well, as long as you said it when you were out of her arm's reach, right?
Well, I don't know, but I'm – oh, sorry.
I think my question is are we talking about, like, one or two or three or, like, 10 or 20 of them on her?
It was more than two or three, although it wasn't like she was covered in a blanket.
It wasn't like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom style.
No, it wasn't like
snakes.
That.
It had to be snakes.
Wow. Well, that's an interesting moral quandary. I mean, I can't...
Yeah, there could have been an earwig in there, too. I don't remember.
I can't in all honesty say that you made the correct moral choice. However, in the scheme of things, you didn't do such a bad thing, right? I mean, maybe the lying to her about being bitten, because who knows how poisonous that centipede could have been. And the DD-2000's right. She could have
egg
sacs the size of a plum inside her brain now.
True. Well, this isn't helping my quest for absolution, because... images of these centipedes have been haunting my centipede sex life for years.
So, with the question, how some men, there are men that pay prostitutes to like step on bugs while they masturbate.
Crush videos, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
the caller's familiar.
That disturbs me.
And other things like in eggs and.
Trust me, they're not as good as you think they're going to be.
Yeah.
They're not what?
As good as you think they're going to be, he said.
So, I mean, that's what I want to do. Are you having fantasies of, like, destroying the centipedes? Or tenderly stroking the centipedes? Or
hosing them away with a powerful blast of ejaculate or something? And so,
no, it's more – I feel bad talking about this over the air, although I guess this is anonymous. It's more like – do you remember the scenes in Naked Lunch where the guy's typewriter would come to life and he was sort of being controlled by the bug?
Mm-hmm.
That's more what it's like.
So, wow. This is – I don't know if we're – we're capable of the absolution of such deeply seated
guilt
and loathing.
I'm thinking all the little centipedes like crawling on your erogenous zones. All their little legs might be kind of arousing, kind of, you know.
Maybe. I mean, I looked into it. I looked to see if there was sort of a centipede equivalent of gerbiling, but there no.
Well, there was this book I read several years ago called Gay, Straight, and In Between, and one of the portions of it was talking about people with very unusual sexual fixations, and one of them was this guy who liked to have a feeling of insects, specifically cockroaches, crawling across his genitals and perineum, which would cause him to
have... Crawling across his genitals and his what?
And his perineum, that's the stretch of skin between your rectum and your testicles. It's on the man.
What normally they call a taint.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and it would make him achieve orgasm many, many times in a row.
Just making you wet or actually having the cockroaches?
No, actually having the cockroaches crawl all over his...
Yeah, no, I don't think it'll work with me because I'm actually sort of scared by the centipedes.
I just wanted to bring that up.
Well, so I mean,
I seem to have completely freaked out our guest over here, and I apologize.
I mean, were they, I mean, I'm just curious.
Welcome to my world.
Technically, centipedes or millipedes, or maybe even not.
I don't.
Does it really matter, like in the scheme of things?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's three orders of magnitude more legs. So our mom has signaled to me that this is a perfect time for me to suck milk out of her breasts. So I think we're going to do this. Dr. Sexopoulos, I'll let you run the show.
Wow.
Even though,
so
how do you want to do this? Am I doing this directly?
I don't know yet.
Straight from the tap?
Or does it just, like, come out?
Oh, doesn't that hurt?
Our guest is like, just for our radio listeners who don't have the video feed, our guest is pumping her breast as if she were, like, milking a cow, except now you've stopped.
Did that hurt? Watching?
Well, so the options are either you come over here and, like, take a few drops, or come over here and put your mouth on. So,
well, I don't know.
Doesn't technology provide the answer in the form of some sort of breast pump?
Well, so I mean, we can do. I mean, it seems like the best way would be like direct human contact. But like, you know, I don't want to like bite off your breast and then cause it to be. I mean, so what's the proper?
So my theory is you probably
technique.
Won't be able to know how to suckle correctly to actually get milk kind of out.
And then, yeah,
your baby days are behind you.
This might cause all kinds of. I mean, you know, I've already. Put in 6 months worth of therapy. This might set me back quite a bit. But so is it like a sucking sound or like there's no biting, right?
No.
Do I use my gums or my like? Or do I just?
Maybe better if she just expressed some into her hand and passed it to you or something.
Okay, I'm gonna go run
ahead. Wow, we're witnessing a radio first here.
God, it's coming
it's
out.
Interesting yet deeply uncomfortable.
Whichever you yeah, okay.
I can't see anything,
like
unfortunately. It's totally blocked by DJ 2000's pert tot buttocks.
I can't taste anything. It tastes like my finger. We're squeezing more milk out of the...
Yeah, I can't see anything, so I can't give a really running commentary. The baby is happily sleeping. Completely ignorant of the perversion is going on right in front of him.
So how can the baby survive on this? This is like three tiny drops of like milky fluid.
Well, there's much more when he actually drinks.
Really? Why? What am I
doing?
Well,
babies are professionals, man. You're just some little amateur breast milk dabbler.
No, I got a little taste with there. It does. Okay, so.
Not sure I can get too much more without just spluttering all over the place.
Well, splutter away.
Okay.
Here, squirt it into my hand.
It doesn't squirt very well.
Oh, it's squirting. Oh, my God. It's
there
like.
You go. I just squirt.
You're like Bessie the cow.
Look, you.
Are we having a moment here?
I think so.
All right.
Are you turning straight?
Oh, yeah.
Have you felt rebirth? Do you feel a whole new era of your life being ushered in? Do you feel at one with motherhood and the universe?
Well, I was...
Do you feel refreshed?
I have to say, I mean, I feel nurtured, kind of. I feel like, you know, that you provided... We've had a special bonding moment there, but... It was okay. It was just sort of like sweet water. It was like I was drinking, you know, the nectar of a beautiful flower. I mean,
and you were.
Like, I don't think, you know, your boyfriend or husband or whatever should be blocked about this.
No, I don't think it's the idea of a bad taste or icky thing. I think it's just I have no idea what something coming out of. I mean, your reaction was, is it weird to have milk coming out of your breast? And well, maybe it's he feels
like it's kind of alien.
I just don't think
of
there being
right?
holes in. I mean, like, why? Yeah. I don't know.
And as to your question as to how the baby can survive, well, if you compare, like, bottles to breast, he's doing about drinking around 6 to 8 ounces of milk out of here every 3 or 4 hours.
Wow.
So that's possible. Like, we had to work and we got, like,
that's P-U-L.
A few drops.
So,
we lost the caller.
For one thing, he just nursed a short while ago, so there's still, it's refilling.
Oh, okay.
And for another... Baby lips are much more effective at expressing than my hand is.
Well, I should have sucked on it directly. Well, we'll have to say that.
Baby lips, not Sexopoulos lips.
No, I am Dr. Sexopoulos.
Sorry, other one. Or co-host.
You know, I can actually create a pretty powerful suction when...
believe me.
It's not suction. It's kind of massaging the general area.
Oh, they know how to, like...
They know
it's
how
sort
to
of like mean. An ant stroking...
Babies can't do much, but they know
so like ants
how to milk those puppies.
Something like that.
Have you seen the movie Microcosmos, by the way?
Part of it.
All of our listeners should go to rent Microcosmos. It's the most amazing sort of nature, like insect nature video I've ever seen.
And also, if you imagine that squirting over a period of about 15 minutes, then it would add up to a few ounces.
And the baby's not very big, so he doesn't require...
I mean, a few ounces per side is
eating
not
an entire
that much.
Roast ox like you and I do. Stuffed with a sheep that's been stuffed with a pig.
If you only breastfed out of one breast, would the other one not produce anymore? Ha! We have stumped our
guest.
Other
than getting well, it would get very painful.
Right. Well, I'm just wondering, you know how they sort of automatically shut off when you stop breastfeeding, right?
Well, it takes a while.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a universal control or individually actuated.
I personally think it would just get... Or assuming I had both breasts fully functional and there was no freak accident, I would think that it would just get too uncomfortable to actually try that experiment. Assuming that one breast was actually, like, for some reason unable to produce milk, whatever, then you could do with one just fine.
Hmm. Interesting.
Hmm. I'm intrigued. Well, it looks like we're running out of time. We only have a few more minutes left. DJ Breast Milk, you must have another outdoor sex story for us. You've been in a long-term stable relationship. Surely you guys have plumbed the depths of indoor and outdoor recreational sex.
I gotta bat this question deftly back at you because I haven't, except for that one sort of tragic experience with in the park with the improper touching.
Did the bad man touch you here?
I don't really have one. Do you?
I guess. I mean, I don't have anything particularly. I have no. Let me say this. I have no centipede quality stories in me, but I've had sex outdoors quite a bit.
Like what? National parks?
Yes.
Really?
Graveyards. Local parks.
Graveyard?
That's pretty cool.
The lawn at the school where I went as an undergrad.
You've been holding back. You have hundreds of sex stories here.
Well, wait. These have to be with other people?
That's interesting. So, I mean, are you serious about this? Have you, like, masturbated in a graveyard?
No. I was actually, this was all sex with other people. Well, for a long time, ever since I was a teenager, I've always been, like, kind of, the outdoors has been powerfully erotic to me. Like, the idea of having sex outdoors has always had a great deal of hold on me. And I haven't really sought this out, like.
98% of the Earth's surface is outdoors.
I haven't really sought it out, per se, but I've always been eager to.
Wow.
Sample when the opportunity's presented itself.
So I think we should start with the graveyard story. You were like a, you know,
no, so this was down
Janis
when I was
Joplin's
living,
grave? Or?
No, I was living down in Houston, and actually there's this very, very pretty graveyard near where I lived. And I went there, like, I'm not gothy, and I wasn't dating anybody who was gothy at the time, but we went to this graveyard to have a picnic because, oh, wow, I'll pause my story there because the callers always come first.
How can we have another caller? Hello, caller. Thank you for calling.
Hello.
Hello.
I was just calling to comment a little bit on sex in the car.
Your phone is doing this really annoying thing. Why is that? Are you, like...
Okay, I think we have it cleared up.
We fixed it. Okay, thank you, producer. So,
are you still there?
Start over? You're calling from New Zealand?
That's right. I am calling from New Zealand. I'm calling from Auckland.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Lovely city.
So, you were asking some callers why, when giving oral sex in the car, you might want to pull over.
Right.
And I have, actually, I think, an educated and experienced opinion about that.
Interesting.
Please share.
Well, because obviously, if you're practicing any kind of anal stimulation, say you wanted to insert your finger in your man's ass, then really you need to pull over to get him to lift his buttocks off the seat.
That's an extremely good point, and I have to admire A, your intelligence at discovering this, and B, like you and your boyfriend's dedication to the erotic arts. That's like advanced oral sex techniques.
Right, I mean, it can be a little late for Christmas dinner, but...
Well, it's all in a good cause.
Is that a New Zealand euphemism? Is it a euphemism down under, being late for Christmas dinner?
Oh, I can't talk about that on the air.
Wow, yeah, I guess that would require pulling over to the side of the road. Unless, of course, you were, say, in Scotland, where you could just lift his kilt, right?
Well, I think, actually, there's just a sort of amount of dexterity to keep his... buttocks right off the seat for long enough.
That's true.
Really, it's not.
Yeah, and if you're trying to elevate your butt, I guess everything's going to be clenching up and make the whole process more difficult.
Right.
Do straight people do this? Like,
well, the smart ones do.
Like, aren't you afraid that'll turn your boyfriend gay by digitally stimulating his anus?
I think I'll keep him with me longer.
Yeah, the prostate is a magical, wonderful fruit, you know.
Well, you have to really dig in there to get to the prostate, though.
That's why we pull over.
Wow, well, good for you. I'm glad to hear this. And no, so do you have any cute friends in America, Miss New Zealand? Oh, damn.
Our producer, our faux producer, is signaling us that we're almost out of time. But I want to close with this thought, which is, I'm just stunned. I've gone through too many things. First, I've tasted a woman's breast milk. I've discovered that straight people, like, play with each other's anuses. Does your boyfriend put his finger in your anus?
We're saving that for a wedding night.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, that's sweet.
That's a beautiful quote. I think on that quote we're going to end. Saving digital rectal simulation for your wedding night. And that's very traditional, actually. I believe that's...
The chocolate cherry.
The chocolate cherry.
Sweet potato pie.
Okay, we must close on that note. I want to thank all the callers for calling in. I want to thank our delightful guests for joining us. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Tune in next week. Provided we haven't had our license taken away. Tuesdays at 11, sextalk.wrct.org. Thanks for listening and good night.